Well, good morning, and welcome to worship at West End United Methodist Church on this first Sunday after Christmas. God's love has been born into the world. Let us keep the feast. Again, good morning and welcome to worship at West End. We're pleased that you've joined us. Some of you may be visitors. Some of you may be here with family. Some of you may have just dropped in. If you're here for the first time, welcome. We would love to meet you. Folks who are here week in and week out will be seeking out folks they don't know to shake your hand and welcome you. If you are traveling back home somewhere, we wish you safe travels. But if you're around Nashville, we'd love it if you'd make a home here with us. There are lots of ways to do that. One of those is getting involved in what God is doing in and through this congregation. Our bulletin insert will give you some idea of the ways you can be involved. I want to lift up just a few things. First of all, our Tizay New Year's Eve prayer service will be in the four-story theater. It is at 6:30, December 31st, and this is a service that is just the perfect way to shed all of the weight and burden of the old year and take on the new year with a new depth and openness. If you've never been, it's a very quiet service. It's meditative with music. The labyrinth will be out. You can do walking meditation if you so choose. That's 6:30, December 31st at Four Story Theater. Also, I need to tell you that in observance of the New Year's Day celebration, our church offices and preschool will be closed this coming Thursday and Friday. So you'll know that. And then on January 10th at 7:30, we'll be hosting a concert by the Xavier University Concert Choir. They are from Cincinnati. Matt Phelps conducted them at one time. This is a free concert. It includes all kinds of music, including some Christmas music, if you want to make Christmas last just as long as possible. For those of you who are finishing up your giving for 2014, there are several ways to do that. If you want it to count for 2014, it needs to be hand-delivered to the church or postmarked by Tuesday, December 31st. If you wish to bring your gift in person, by December 31st, if you wish to bring your gift in person, the office will be open until 4:30 on that last day, okay? You can also go on westendumc.org/give, and if you choose to give appreciated securities, you need to be in touch with Cindy Moore. Some folks like to do that. You will find all of this information and Cindy's email address in your bulletin insert. So you don't have to remember all that stuff that I have just said. But we would appreciate it if you would help us finish out the year in a strong and faithful way. Well, you know, Christmas didn't begin, no matter what the culture led you to believe, it didn't begin until this past Wednesday night. And we're right in the middle of it. It's not over. In fact, as we celebrate God coming to us as one of us, a God who knows us better than we know ourselves and loves us better than we could imagine, that doesn't just last one season. That lasts eternally.
to God who has given God's light to us.
Honor and praise to God for God's most precious gift.
The darkness that enveloped the people
has been pierced by light.
Let us rejoice in God's blessed goodness.
Let us continually praise God with great joy and thanksgiving.
Jesus, our Lord, came into an indifferent world, yet his life revealed the inner thoughts of many. Let us confess our sins before God and one another that we might receive release from our sin. Merciful God, we confess that we have not lived as your faithful children. We have kept silent in the midst of prejudice and hatred. We have been idle in the face of violence and injustice. We have not been a light to the nations, and our lives have not revealed your glory. Forgive us, merciful God. Repair the ugliness of our sin, and restore in us your beautiful grace. Through Jesus Christ our Lord.
Behold, God has given God's Son that we might have life. Feel the wondrous power and love of God in your heart this day, and know that God is with you always.
Oh,
Let us pray together the prayer for illumination. As we come to hear the scriptures today, O Lord, stir up in our hearts that we may welcome your incarnate Son. By his coming, give us strength in our conflicts and shed light on our path, that we may walk the way that leads to eternal life. Through Christ our Lord. Amen. A lesson from the Gospel according to Luke. When the time came for their purification according to the law of Moses, they brought him up to Jerusalem to present him to the Lord. As it was written in the law of the Lord, every firstborn male shall be designated as holy to the Lord. And they offered a sacrifice according to what is stated in the law of the Lord, a pair of turtle doves or two young pigeons. Now there was a man in Jerusalem whose name was Simeon. This man was righteous and devout, looking forward to the consolation of Israel, and the Holy Spirit rested on him. It had been revealed to him by the Holy Spirit that he would not see death before he had seen the Lord's Messiah. Guided by the Spirit, Simeon came into the temple, and when the parents brought in the child Jesus to do for him what was customary under the law, Simeon took him in his arms and praised God, saying, "Master, now you are dismissing your servant in peace, according to your word, for my eyes have seen your salvation, which you have prepared in the presence of all peoples, a light for revelation to the Gentiles and for glory to your people, Israel." And the child's father and mother were amazed at what was being said about him. Then Simeon blessed them and said to his mother Mary, "This child is destined for the falling and rising of many in Israel, and to be a sign that will be opposed so that the inner thought of many will be revealed. And a sword will pierce your own soul too." There was also a prophet, Anna, the daughter of Phanuel, of the tribe of Asher. She was a great age, having lived with her husband 7 years after her marriage, and then as a widow to the age of 84. She never left the temple, but worshiped there with fasting and prayer night and day. At that moment she came and began to praise God and to speak about the child to all who were looking for redemption of Jerusalem. When they had finished everything required by the law of the Lord, they returned to Galilee, to their own town of Nazareth. The child grew and became strong, filled with wisdom, and the favor of God was upon him. This is the word of God for the people of God.
Please be seated, and if there are other youngsters who would care to come and join us, you're welcome to do that. If you'd like to bring a parent, that's okay too. One of our traditions here at West End is that for the Sunday after Christmas, instead of having a traditional sermon, I write a story. That's unusual too. I usually just tell them, but I write a story and I read that story. So you can celebrate. This is the only sermon you're going to get today. This has to do with what we call nativity scenes or creches. This one is carved out of wood, and it comes from Bethlehem, from the place where Jesus was born. This one is made out of clay and painted and fired, and it's from Peru. So you can see all over the world, people remember the story of Jesus by looking at the different characters, Mary and Joseph and the baby, see, and some of the animals and the shepherds and the wise men. But I'm going to tell you the story of why we do that. And it all has to do with a man who lived in Assisi in Italy. His name was Francis. Francis was worried about Christmas, which in his day and in our day is called the Feast of the Nativity. Now, a nativity is a birth, and this particular nativity was a celebration of Jesus' birth. In Assisi, Francis' hometown, people seemed to have forgotten what the day was all about. As December 25th came closer, they went about their lives just as if nothing special was going to happen. This bothered Francis a lot. You see, there had been a time in Francis' life when the feast day of the nativity was not special to him or to his family either. In fact, they paid little attention to any holy day. His father was only interested in making money, and Francis just wanted to have a good time. His father bought and sold cloth, from which shirts and pants and dresses and coats and capes and curtains and many other things were made. His father expected Francis to help him in the cloth business, but all young Francis wanted to do was dress in fancy clothes and party with his friends. His neighbors thought he was a charming young man, but that he was lazy and wild. When his city, Assisi, went to war against a nearby town named Perugia, his neighbors were relieved when Francis went as a soldier. During the fighting, he was captured by the soldiers he was fighting against and was in prison for a year. Because he was dressed so nicely and had fancy armor, the Perugians thought that his family was rich and might be willing to pay a lot of money to get this young dandy back home. Sure enough, his family did have lots of money, and they did pay to get Francis back home. But when he returned to Assisi, they noticed that he was no longer the wild partier they remembered. The year that Francis had spent in prison changed his life. Francis was very sick when he came back to his family's home. This was one of the reasons he wasn't interested in partying and the wild life he had lived before the war. Also, during his time away, he began to take his religious faith more seriously. He prayed every day in prison and then as he lay in his bed. And he did his best to listen to God and learn what God wanted him to do with his life. When he felt better, he would go to church and pray. One day, after he returned from praying in the church of San Damiano, he told his family and friends that while he was praying and looking at the cross that hung in the church, he heard the voice of Jesus say to him, "Rebuild my church." Francis knew that Jesus was talking to him. There was no one else there. So he found a church called St. Mary of the Angels that was falling down just outside his hometown and started to build its walls again, all by himself. In addition to his work rebuilding the church building that had fallen down, he became concerned about those who didn't have all the food and clothing and houses they needed. And since his father had lots of cloth, Francis had an idea about the way he could help them. Francis began to give away his father's cloth to poor people who couldn't pay for it. Of course, his father was angry, told him that the cloth was not Francis to give away, and ordered him to stop. Francis asked why his father should have so much cloth when others went without clothing they needed and continued to give to those in need. So his father asked the bishop to talk some sense into his son. The bishop reminded the young man that everything he had was his father's. The cloth he was giving away was his father's. Even the clothes he was wearing on his own body belonged to his father. So Francis took off all of his clothes, handed them to the bishop, and told him, "From now on, I will have no father but God," and walked away wearing nothing at all. Yeah. Well, pretty soon he found some more clothes, though. The young man began to dress in a robe made of rough brown cloth as he worked to do what Jesus had told him to do, as he set out to rebuild the church of St. Mary of the Angels. It wasn't long before a number of other young men began helping him and dressing like him and acting like him. Even a young woman from Assisi named Claire wanted to follow Francis' example and collected a group of young women to follow him as well. Now, not only did Francis help rebuild the church with their help, but as they worked, they listened to what Francis said about God's love for all creatures. He told them that the sun was their brother, that the moon was their sister. He told them that all the animals and plants were their brothers and sisters as well. One of the stories he told to teach them about God's love for all creatures was about how Jesus was born in a place where the animals were kept. As Christmas drew near, it seemed like only Francis and his friends were interested in celebrating the day. "People just don't know the story of Christmas," he said. "They can't imagine what it would be like to actually be there when Jesus was born." So Francis had an idea. He and his friends would find a way to make the night that Jesus was born real for the people of Assisi. He would create a play without words, but with all the characters in costume and real sheep and cows and a donkey, then perhaps people would celebrate this holy day the way they should. Francis portrayed Joseph. His friend Claire was Mary. Other friends took on the roles of the shepherds, the angels, and the wise men. They found a farmer who would let them use his stable and animals. Francis even asked his father for some leftover cloth for the costumes. Much to everyone's surprise, every person Francis asked to do something for the play said yes, even his father. A few days before Christmas, they tried out their nativity scene. The first night, there were only a few people who came to see it, but one person told another who told another who told another, and pretty soon the word had spread through the entire town and the countryside. By Christmas Eve that year, large crowds of people came to see Francis and his friends as they portrayed a living picture of what it might have been like on the night that Jesus was born. The nativity scene was so popular that Francis and his friends repeated it every year at Christmas time. After a few years, people began to carve nativity scenes out of olive wood. This is olive wood, from the trees that grew in nearby olive groves. Potters began to make them out of clay. This is one made out of clay. Francis and his friends had created a way of showing the story of Jesus' birth that people wanted to imitate. Other churches around Italy and later around the world began to stage their own nativity scenes. Even today, you can see nativity scenes in the yards of churches, sometimes with real people and sometimes with statues. You may have ridden by some of those churches and seen those. Or inside churches or on tables or mantles in people's homes. Many people do not know that the scenes of Jesus' birth that decorate their homes and churches to tell the story of Christmas began with a young man named Francis from a town called Assisi and his friends and their desire to help people remember what Christmas was all about and how important Jesus' birth really is. So, in coming years, whenever you see a nativity scene or what some people call a creche, you'll know the story about how it came to be, won't you? Let's pray. Thank you, God, for giving us reminders of your love, of your Son, Jesus Christ, of the way that you've reached out to us so that you'll know what it feels like to be us, and we'll know a little bit more about what it's like for you. Help us to live out your love as well as we can. following the example you set for us in Jesus. Amen. Thank you all for coming down. That was fairly painless, wasn't it? We tell our stories in lots of ways. Some of them through legends about saints, some of them through stories from the Bible, and some of them through statements of faith that have been created to summarize what we believe. So let me invite you to stand with me as you're able. Turn to number 883 in your hymnal and join me as we tell our story in the words given to us by the United Church of Canada. We are not alone. We live in God's world. We believe in God, who has created and is creating, who has come in Jesus, the Word made flesh, to reconcile and make new, who works in us and others by the Spirit. We trust in God. We are called to be the church, to celebrate God's presence, to love and serve others, to seek justice,
West End United Methodist Church welcomes all who gather to worship with us today. If you are a guest among us, a special word of welcome is extended to you. We hope that you will join us for a time of fellowship in Reed Hall, which is located through the doors to your right following our worship service. First-time guests who are worshiping with us today are invited to stop by the Bread for the Journey table during our fellowship time, where you will find some information about the many ministries of this church and a gift for you. You are invited to please take a moment to record your attendance with us by passing the pew pad down the pew if you have not already done so. And as the pad is passed, please take note of those who are worshiping with you and greet anyone you may not know at the end of our service as you pass the pew pad back toward the center aisle. I invite you to take note of the gray card you find in the pew rack. One side of the card may be used to record any comments you may have for church staff or lay leadership. On the other side of the card, you may indicate any prayer requests. We invite you to indicate on your prayer requests if the prayer is to be shared with the whole congregation or is to be kept confidential. The card may be placed in the offering plates as they are passed down the pew in a few moments. Prepare us now to hear you speak to us, loving God, as we lift up both our silent and spoken prayers. The Lord be with you. Let us pray. God, Savior of the world, who was born as a human child in Bethlehem, where there was no place prepared for you, remind us to pray for all who are rejected, all for whom there is no home, no welcome. We pray for those who are outcasts and who are marginalized in today's world through poverty, hunger, and oppression. God, Prince of Peace, may your peace come into our world. We pray for all people who live where there is military conflict and violence. We pray that wisdom and diplomacy guide the leaders of the nations in order that there may be an end to violence and warfare. God, parent of us all, we pray for this church and the many communities that make up our membership. Help us to remember that we are all members of your family. Help us to welcome all who come among us, knowing that in showing love and respect to any member of your family, we are showing love to you. We pray for people who are in need of your healing power and presence in their lives, especially for those known to us personally. May they feel your loving presence and healing touch. God of salvation, peace, and justice, come to us now as you have come to your people in every age. Reassure our hearts that you are among us and that you hear our prayers. And now we join our voices into one prayer, praying the words Jesus taught. Our Father, who art in heaven, hallowed be thy name. Thy kingdom come, thy will be done, on earth as it is in heaven. Give us this day our daily bread, and forgive us our trespasses, as we forgive those who trespass against us. And lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from evil. For thine is the kingdom, and the power, and the glory forever. Amen. Having received new life through the generosity of God and the hope Christ brings, let us give thankfully and abundantly with God's tithes and our offerings, that we may be called God's generous people.
Now go forth to share the blessings of Christmas with all you meet, knowing that God's love that calls us together, Jesus Christ, God's love walking with us, and the Holy Spirit, God's love breathing through us, will be with you not just this day, not just this holy season, but forever. Go in peace.